projects is involved in revising the genera of the family Celeonidae. And as we started designing this project and getting into it, decided that one of the things I wanted to do was to document, let me see if I get this straight now, the primary type specimens of the type species of all the genera of Celeonids, so that we would have a visual image, visual documentation of what these things looked like to the people who originally proposed them. So the idea was to take the pictures of the specimens and the labels and do it for all, I don't know, 300, 400 some odd genera of Celeonids. Now you can immediately see that there's a great rate limiting step here. There are some museums that simply will not send types out. There are some countries to which some museums will remain unnamed, will not send types. And even if you're dealing with somebody like the Natural History Museum, and they'll send you types, they'll do it in small lots at a time. And so it will take a lot of time to get hold of all these specimens. So I thought I had a great idea, and like most great ideas, I quickly discovered that lots of people had thought of it before me, which was, wouldn't it be nice, we had an imaging system in the lab, but it was a big clunky thing. Wouldn't it be nice if I had an imaging system that I could take on the airplane, put it in the below seat storage area in front of you, have a mechanism where once I took the digital images, be able to upload them automatically to my database via some sort of imaginary satellite link, and basically just go to the museums, take the pictures, and be done with it. Well, that turned out to be impossible, but it also turned out that a lot of those tools were well on the way to being developed. Let me throw in a caveat here that I want to emphasize that I recognize that both line drawings and SEM and other means of illustration have their place and a very valuable place. But what we were particularly interested in was extended focus imaging. For us, it's rapid. I don't spend all day mounting and my models the way Matt does, but it's relatively rapid. For me, you get high quality images. The wasps that you'll see pictures of are generally in the order of 2 to 5 millimeters long, and that one there is about 3 millimeters long. And it causes no, doesn't require any special preparation and causes no damage to the specimens, obviously of great importance when you're talking about primary types. So that's the system that we're dealing with. And here I am in the South Australian Museum with Arthur Lee looking over my shoulder to make sure I'm not breaking any specimens. I've got a pile of drawers there that are full of primary types of Allan Dodd. And I wanted to show you just the system that I was using at that time. This is now 2004, and some changes have been made. We have a digital video. A digital video camera. The microscope there. Notice no eyepieces, so we don't have any parallax issues with this microscope. A mini computer. A motorized focus column, so I'm using an automated Z-stepper so that I don't have to manually set shoot each image, just set the top and bottom and the number of images that I want to take and lean back away from the table and let it go. Lighting, at that point we were using fiber optics. We've now gone to the LED dome. Some highly technological light diffusers, which were yesterday's coffee cups with the bottoms cut out, we put over the specimens. The light domes now make this would, as Matt said, involve a lot of time fiddling around with the angle at which the fiber optics would be shot over the edge of the cup and getting it just right. Now we don't have this issue at all any longer. And of course, the most important thing, the highly qualified underpaid technical personnel who are going to be taking the pictures all day long. So I've described the hardware there. This was all designed by GT Vision, and I purchased both the hardware and the software from them. The initial system, the one you just saw in the picture, was using AutoMontage software. Now we're also using the combination of Cartograph and Archimedes software to take the pictures. That image on the right is the system packed up and ready to go. There's a nice big backpack on the back, which I haul onto the airplane. That contains the microcomputer, all the little gadgets that everybody has, you know, the little mini keyboard, USB, memory sticks and these kinds of things. And but all the important and expensive hardware is in the Pelican case at the bottom. And if you look in that Pelican case, when it's fully packed, this system, as you saw, was a microcomputer, about yay big, and this tall dual processor, which was, it's really a fantastic computer for handling the images and coming up with the montage images. I mean, very quickly, we're talking 15 seconds or something once it has a stack of 25 pictures to take. So I like it a lot from that point of view. I don't like it a lot because it weighs about, I don't know, 10 pounds or something. I put it in the backpack. There's a separate screen that goes with it. I don't know why we were forced into that choice of hardware. The new system that we have has simply a laptop that would go in the backpack. So I think you see right in the middle is the screen for that microcomputer, which is packed in. You see the light source in one corner, the, see if I dare do this, the camera is tucked in here, spare bulb up in this corner, and well, let's take some of that out and look inside. You can see the stage for the microscope down on the bottom. The Z stepper column is, come on, I'm not going to, well, it's not going to cooperate. Z stepper column is tucked down in there too. It's a very compact system. I'm assured that this thing is leak-proof. It's got padding. I never had any visible problem with any damage to this thing through shipping. I got little notes from TSA in it that they had looked at it and wondered what the hell it was, but that was about it. Oh, I forgot to say there, go back, please. The setup time for the whole system is about 20 minutes if I'm just setting it up. Usually, of course, you go into a museum and the first thing you do, well, one of the things you're doing at the same time is shaking hands and saying, hi, I haven't seen you in years. And so it may take up to an hour or two, depending on how many people drop in to see. The tools are for that system were exceptionally simple. A couple of crescent wrenches, a couple of screwdrivers, of which I only ever used two of them. I know what the other crescent wrench is for, but I have no idea what the other screwdriver is for. So it's a height of simplicity. The new system that we have has no tools. So it gets even easier. And of course, if you go into foreign countries, you have to be equipped properly. Actually, you know where you're going in advance. And so there's a little cheat sheet that goes along with this pack that GT Vision supplied me. And you just pull out the adapters that you're going to use. One thing I learned in traveling to Australia is to be sure that your power strip also can fit in that. It turned out they didn't give me that initially, so I had to buy one in Brisbane, the International Congress, for which they reimbursed me. Now I've got an Australian power strip to go along with it. Our protocols for each of these types is to take a minimum of 5 standard images, have it as from the top and the side, focus in on the head and mesosoma from the top and the side, take a picture of the face, and then if there's some particular taxonomically important characters that we know about and that are visible in the specimens, then we'll focus in on those. Documentation, of course, you've got to get your metadata to go along with this. So each of those images has associated with it the name of the taxon, the specimen ID, if it has one, or if we give it one. In the case of holotypes, it's usually not an issue because it's rare that I found more than one holotype for a species. Rare, but not unknown. The actual type status, syntype, holotype, neotype, etc., who's doing the work, so I know who to blame, and what the magnification was of the image. And I basically store these in the computer either as properties of the image, in the case of AutoMontage, and also the images themselves are stored in a directory structure that simply reflects the taxonomic hierarchy so I can find things again very quickly. So in this example, somewhere on the C drive, I've got a folder for the United States National Museum of Natural History and Heptacelio and then Lugens, and then I'll have all the images, the montage images, the label images, and anything else that goes with that, just so I can find things quickly. These are holotypes. I'm not trying to illustrate characters of species. I'm not trying to illustrate what the species looks like. I'm trying to illustrate what this crummy specimen looks like, half embedded in glue, covered with dirt. I don't try to clean them, except unless there's something really gross that can be removed quite quickly. The real thing that affects the rate at which we can take images, well, actually there are five things there. One is getting the specimen in the right position in the first place. That's the most important one. A little bit of cleaning, maybe. Fussing around with the lights, as I said, the LED dome greatly reduces that time. Actual image capture, even if you're taking 25 images, 40 images, and making a montage with that computer, it's not really an issue. The fifth one, of course, is people talking to you. What are you doing? How are you doing that? How does that work? So I really can't give you numbers as for how fast we can take specimens. In 2 days, the USNM, we did all, I think it was 50 holotypes of the type species of genera with just me doing that. So we got it done. It would have taken us months to try to borrow all that material and take the pictures back home. This image, you see, I'm not sure how it shows up here, but you can see probably that it's got the classic auto-montage, funky, patchy background that none of us like, and a lot of us then have to go in either an auto-montage in Photoshop and edit that out so you get a nice-looking image. The bug itself is quite fine. I have no problems with the bug, but the background I would like to clean up. We don't do any of that on the road. Figure, you know, I'm halfway across the world. I'm not going to spend my time fussing around this image. I need to get that next specimen in there and get the images. So I'll create the montage so that I know that there's not something horribly wrong, you know, like there was some vibration on the table that I didn't know about or something like that. Make the montage, make sure it's usable, and then just store the thing. In the when I originally started out, how many pictures do you take for a stack? I don't know. I didn't know. I ended up with taking a standard 25 images per picture, each of those 4 megabytes in size. So that plus the montage gives you a total of about 104 plus or minus megabytes per image. With the new system, and actually now with AutoMontage, we know what the depth of field is at each stop of magnification on the microscope. So we could just pop up a little calculator. We know the total depth of field of the image that we want to take. We know the depth of field at each stop, so just do that division and figure out how many pictures we need. And sometimes it surprisingly comes out to as few as 3 or 4 images is all we need to get a fully focused image. So that really not so much speeds up the time, but it reduces the amount of storage space that we have to use for the whole stacks. I'm a little bit paranoid, so we've got the stuff on the hard disk on the microcomputer, but I also copy this stuff over to an external hard disk so that we've got an extra copy of that. In the ideal world, I'd be able to upload that stuff over the internet, but of course, because of security reasons and just bandwidth reasons, you can't do that when you're visiting somebody else. We take pictures of the holotype labels. As I say, most of the types don't need globally unique IDs. The name and that this is a holotype suffices, but this is what the type labels for us would look like. And the setup is a simple Nikon Coolpix, I forget which number, macro camera on a $20 photo stand that I found on the internet, piece of gray card with a piece of glass taped to it, so we'll flip that glass up over to hold the labels down, shoot a picture, and put it in the same folder with all the other images eventually. Transport, if I'm driving, I just pop it in the trunk. If I'm flying, it's too big to take for carry-on, obviously. You could take it as accompanied checked baggage. I've never done that. The original system slightly exceeds the limits, and of course, with the 20 kilogram limit within Europe, it's much too heavy. I've shipped it via DHL. And basically, the cost to ship it by DHL is comparable to excess baggage costs. But the real killer is the insurance, which is usually 5% of the cost of the equipment. So that gets to be very expensive, but I felt compelled to do that. Getting into the countries is the real tribulation. Canada's straightforward. As long as I'm bringing it back out, they don't care. If you're going to pay customs duties, even though it'll be refundable because it's a temporary import, that's 20% of the value of the piece of equipment paid up front. I'm told that if you take it as accompanied baggage, you could describe it as photographic equipment. That's something that customs officials are familiar with and willing to and capable of dealing with. The other option is basically to get a passport for the system, a carnet. Don't laugh, I did this. You have to get them every year, and you don't pay any duty or tax for temporary import. It's valid in about 70 countries. It has to be specified in advance where you're going because there's pieces of paper that are involved. You pay a deposit, which is refundable. The real trick, though, is the willingness and the familiarity of the carriers to handle carnets. I found out that, I think it was Federal Express, refused to deal with carnets. So we went back to DHL. So with that as our experience, I wish you bon voyage, and bring those pictures back and post them on Morph Bank where we can all see them. Thank you. Any questions? Colin.
What do you do in a situation where you have a large syntax carriers?
Well, I'll look at it first to see if it's one species. And if it is, I will take pictures of the best specimens to show what I want, show things so that people can see what it is that whoever described it thought that genus was. I don't take pictures of every last syntype.